to Washington, D.C., and Jerry Bodlander. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, and happy Friday.
Yeah, right back at you. I know we don't have anything new to talk about on the government shutdown, do we?
No, we don't. Basically, it's a status quo, except for the fact that the October 1st deadline is coming closer and closer. There is talk that some Senate Democrats would like to find a way to strike a deal, if you will, or to back off from the hard line that Senate Democratic Leader Schumer has taken, that the president's threat to start firing government workers once there's no spending bill, you know, is just a bluff or, you know, needs to be stood up against. But other than that, there's really very little. There's a consensus, however, that, you know, the Democrats are in a pretty weak position and they really don't have a strategy for extracting the concessions they're demanding, which is that the government include subsidies for Obamacare health plans, which are set to go, you know, which are set to become extinct come the end of the year. So we just sort of have to see exactly how it plays out. And, you know, really there's nothing new, but certainly we still have a couple of days before the Senate comes back. The House is gone until after, you know, this deadline would come into effect. And of course, that was done to try and put greater pressure on the Senate Democrats. So, you know, we just sort of have to see if anything changes over the weekend.
It doesn't seem like there's much the Senate can do, because even if they create a new bill and vote it on and send it back to the House, there's nobody at the House that can pass it.
Yeah, and that's part and parcel of why the House Speaker, instead of having the House come back next Monday, which would normally be the case after a week off, gave them off until, you know, well into October.
Well, James Comey's got to feel like the whole world's coming down around his shoulders right now.
Well, yeah, but by the same token, if you were Comey, you kind of had to figure that this was coming. He was, you know, indicted on a pair of charges of, you know, making a false statement and another for obstructing a congressional proceeding. It all is part of the administration's handling of what it says his effort to lie to Congress in testimony in September of 2020. We should point out that the statute of limitations would have run out next week. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of tentacles to this story. First of all, let's remember that, you know, years and years ago, Donald Trump wrote a book where he said, always get even. And so we have a situation where this indictment came very quickly after the president had demanded the Justice Department go after one of his foremost enemies, even though career prosecutors had said that there really wasn't enough evidence to indict Comey. And you had a situation where the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, you know, depending on who you believe, he either resigned because of the pressure from the administration, or the president says he fired him. But, you know, the bottom line is that Comey does now face indictment. He says, one, I'm not afraid. Two, I am innocent. And in a statement said, my family and I have known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump. Now, his arraignment is set for October the 9th. You know, basically, this raises a lot of alarms with a lot of people, because the push for the indictment sort of trampled over the Justice Department's longstanding tradition of keeping politics and prosecutions separate. And of course, it raises the prospect of other prosecutions that are being pushed by the president against his enemies.
One of the things I heard the other night is that a good prosecutor can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah, that's a classic line. And we should point out that while Comey faces two charges, the grand jury did fail to indict on a third charge. And so that sort of can tell you that, you know, these charges were not on the sturdiest of grounds, because as you indicated, grand juries often follow prosecutors and indict. We should point out that, you know, in grand juries, perceived defendants do not have a chance to offer any evidence, and everything is shaped by the prosecution. This is just the latest in the ongoing battle between the Comey family and the Justice Department and this administration. You know, Comey's daughter, who is a former U.S. attorney who prosecuted the Epstein case and other cases, she sued the Department of Justice after she was fired this summer. And Comey's son-in-law, who's also a federal prosecutor, he quit the Department of Justice after the indictment came down yesterday. And so, you know, this is just, you know, one more indication of how this administration will go after its enemies. There's no question about it. Now, in a related matter, but not related, we had a very interesting incident happen in the race for the governor of New Jersey, one of two gubernatorial races this year that's being watched. The Trump administration, you know, basically leaked the military records and personal information of Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill, who is the Democratic candidate. You know, the government is saying, oh, it was a mistake by a technician and it's investigating. But bottom line, it threw her personal records and her military records out into the open. And of course, part of that was that, you know, Sherrill is a graduate of the Naval Academy, and she and many of her classmates didn't walk in the commencement, what is it, like 30 years ago, because there was an academic scandal. And so Republicans have, of course, seized on that in hopes of winning the New Jersey governor's race. And you have Democrats basically saying, you know, the president is weaponizing the government against his political opponents. It's not Comey, but it is, you know, a Democrat who's running, whose records suddenly, you know, weeks before the election have become public and have become fodder for the GOP campaign.
One of the things I think of in Comey and some of these other folks is, how in the world are they going to afford the legal fees in order to protect themselves?
Well, that's part and parcel of it. You know, the go-to guy in Washington for charges like this is a lawyer named Abby Lowell, who's been around for years and years. And yeah, there are going to be costs when you have, you know, somebody like him. And, you know, certainly that can be part and parcel of the administration's approach as well. Let's just throw these charges at them. We believe in them, but even if they get thrown out, they're going to have to pay a boatload of money. And, you know, some of these people do have personal fortunes. You know, the administration, there's rumblings that they're going to go after George Soros and his organization. So certainly that organization has money. But, you know, Comey, you know, was a lawyer and a government employee who didn't make, you know, huge sums of money. I don't think any of us know what his personal financial situation is. But, yeah, these folks have to deal with huge costs when it comes to dealing with something like this.
Let's move to TikTok. I don't have it on my phone, and I don't think I'm going to. I just have other things to do with my world but watch TikTok. But, boy, a lot of people seem to really like it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. Everybody refers to TikTok, and certainly there's been an effort by this administration to find a way to keep it around, especially because the president believes that TikTok helped win over younger voters in the election. And so the president yesterday signed an executive order approving a proposal. It's not, you know, it's not final yet, that would keep TikTok alive in the U.S. It basically would allow everybody to keep TikTok on their phones. Now, it requires, you know, ByteDance. That's the Chinese-based company that owns TikTok. It has to sell its operations or face a ban. And so in this deal, and we should point out China has not yet approved it, although the president said the Chinese president gave the deal the go-ahead, China has to approve this deal, and ByteDance's share would come down to less than 20%, and you'd have other companies, U.S.-based, who would have the majority stake. And, of course, that would satisfy the fact that ByteDance would no longer have a majority stake in it and would theoretically reduce some of the security concerns. The president at the signing says it's going to be owned by Americans, very sophisticated Americans, i.e., large companies and probably with a personal connection to him. This is going to be American operated all the way. So we have to see exactly how it plays out. One interesting aspect is, unlike the steel industry, where the government has a golden share and last week used that to prevent the closing of a steel operation, I believe, in Pennsylvania, this one doesn't have the government taking an equity stake in it. So we sort of have to see how it plays out. But it's clear with all the delays that the president has implemented that he was looking for a way to keep TikTok on the phones here in the U.S. This way he's got an executive order approving this proposal. Once again, China still has to approve it. It would be a new joint venture company that would oversee the U.S. operations of TikTok.
Well, one thing for sure, they don't have my personal information, but I got a feeling they've got plenty of other sources for it. And I would imagine at this point, if the Communist Chinese Party was getting information on people's personal habits on TikTok, they probably already have it.
Yeah, there's little doubt that, once you sign up for TikTok or for that matter, any app, a lot of the information, becomes not necessarily public, but certainly within that corporation, they'll mine it. And, the algorithms will deal with whatever you look at on that app. And certainly, I think most people would acknowledge, they may not like it, but acknowledge that, a lot of the private information that is around isn't as private as a lot of us would like it to be.
Jerry, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.